We continue this morning in a series entitled Making an Offering. We are making an offering of all that we have and all that we are because God has so abundantly blessed us in many ways. Last Sunday, we talked about making an offering of our gifts, our spiritual gifts. Hopefully, many of you had the opportunity to take the spiritual gifts assessment that you found in your bulletin or perhaps the one online so that you can find ways to more deeply live out of your giftedness the way that God has hardwired and created you. This morning, we will talk about making an offering of our money. And in particular, we're going to look at what it means to be people who tithe and tithing. And so I invite you to hear, before I read this morning's scripture, kind of the overarching scripture that's guiding our series, Making an Offering. From 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, printed at the top of your bulletins. It says, each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. May we be people who cheerfully give. Now will you join with me in the book of Deuteronomy, the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter. I'm actually going to read the first 11 verses, so I invite you to join me there if you wish, Deuteronomy chapter 26, and I'll begin verse 1. Will you hear now God's word? When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, then you shall take some of the first of all of the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in the office at that time and say to him, today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into your land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, our God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice, saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength, and our salvation. Amen. If you follow us on social media, you'll know that at the Queen family last Sunday, we celebrated a fifth birthday. It was Kate's fifth birthday, and we had a wonderful day together. Just yesterday, Kate and I sat down at our kitchen table, and we worked on one of the very first things that our family always works on after we receive a gift, and that is thank you notes. My mother instilled this deep desire to write thank you notes in my heart, and for everything that I have been given, I tend to write a thank you note. Even when you give me permission not to do that, it's a part of who I am, and it's a part of something that I'm passing on to the generations past me. And so Kate very joyfully sat with me around the table, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but she sat there because finally at last she could proudly add her name to the thank you notes. So I would write the note, and then Kate had a pen in her hand and wrote K-A-T-E on the bottom of her thank you note. The first thing that we do when a gift has been given to us is to offer our thanks, to offer our gratitude for the generosity that's been given to us. For Kate, it was the toys and the clothes that she received for her first birthday. For our friends in the biblical account from the book of Deuteronomy, the Israelites, the people who've just been brought out of the land of Egypt, who've been spending a number of years under the harshness, the oppression, the slavery under Pharaoh's hand, have now been brought into the land that God promised, a land that Scripture tells us is flowing with milk and honey. And the Israelites find themselves in that same position, so grateful, so thankful for the generosity that God has bestowed upon them. And so they return to God the first fruits of the land, of all that has bloomed and grown around them, of the produce that has been in abundance around them. They return a portion of that to God. Verse 10 says, I bring the first fruit of the ground. You shall set it before the Lord your God and bow down and celebrate the bounty. Celebrate the goodness by bringing forth the first fruits. Biblically, we have learned that first fruits refer to a word that we call tithe. The word tithe is our first fruits, our giving, the first part of our giving, our returning thanks. The word tithe literally means 1/10 of our annual produce or earning. 1/10, those $10 and one of them, 1/10 of them, a tithe, 1/10 of our annual produce or earnings. Biblically, from a historical perspective, Father Abraham was the first to give a tithe. You might remember in Genesis, the 14th chapter, Abraham has just been successful at leading the people of Israel in a victory. And in the midst of this victory, they have gotten some spoils of war, some earnings from war, because they've been victorious. And Abraham leads the people in returning some of these earnings, these spoils of war, and giving them back to God. Abraham takes 1/10 of what they earned out of their victory and gives it to God. You might remember fast-forwarding a couple of chapters in Genesis to the 28th chapter, where Jacob has wrestled all night with God. And then in the morning, when Jacob wakes up and he names the place and he says, surely I have seen God face to face. And from this day forward, because I've seen God face to face, I will give a tithe, 1/10 of our annual produce or our earnings. A tithe, then, friends, according to the biblical history, is what belongs to God. Each Sunday when I call for the offering and for the ushers to come forward, I invite us to give God's tithe and our offering above that tithe. It's what God has given to us, and we are invited to give it back to God. As a church, as the United Methodist Church, you will find that we say the minimum goal of giving is tithing. Now, there's a lot of questions that the United Methodist Church doesn't answer for us. Is tithing off of our gross income, our net income, our pre-tax, or our after-tax income? We follow what John Wesley says. And John Wesley, in his sermon on the use of money, says this: earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. To Wesley, the tithe was the standard. The tithe was the bare minimum. Earn all you can, save all you can, give all that you can. To give generously, according to Wesley, was to far exceed the tithe. That was the expectation. According to a recent study, and you can read some of that in your insert that's in your bulletin today, it says that the average church member gives less than 2.5% of our income. My parents taught me the importance of tithing. When I was in middle school, they got really tired of constantly handing out money to me. I want to go to the movies. I want to go to a ball game. I want to do this. I need that. And so they decided that I would receive a lump sum of $20 a week. And of that $20 a week, they started to teach me how to budget. Immediately off of that $20 came a 10% a tithe that I was to take to church the following Sunday. And then another 10% that they told me that I was to put into the bank. And so there I was left with an amount of money, $16, that I could decide how to spend. Now they built into this budget my lunch money. So if I wanted to get a little bit more money to spend for me, then I could get up every morning and pack my lunch. And therein I had a little bit of extra money when it came to something fun on the weekend. But off of the very top of that amount of money was the first fruits, the giving, the tithe that went to the church. Since I was in middle school, I have filled out an estimate of giving card every year in the life of the church. Not out of reluctance or compulsion, but because I was taught that it was what we are supposed to do because God has been so abundantly good to us. Friends, sermons on monies make us nervous. Many of you wish I was preaching on any number of topic besides money this morning. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
In many ways, I wish I could preach on any number of topics besides money on Sunday morning. However, I stand in a biblical tradition and follow a Jesus the Christ who says far more about money than Jesus says about our prayer life or our devotion to the church. Jesus speaks time after time again about how we use, how we spend, and how we return to God, God's money. Our lifestyles and all the financial requirements in our world seem to take precedence over the obligation that Jesus puts upon us to share our financial resources with the life of the church. We think of money as our money, as a result of hard-earned labor, as that in which we have the right to spend and do with as we choose. And somehow we seem to have missed what God is teaching, what God is offering for us. Friends, God has so abundantly blessed us. We are a blessed people. We give. We give because God first gave to us our very breath. Our very breath that was breathed into us. Our life that was created out of nothing is all because of a God, a generous and a loving God. A God that says, as far as you wander, I'm gonna search for you. A God that says, as far as you run, I'm going to come running after you. A God that says, it doesn't matter what you do, I'm always going to love you. We are a blessed people. In Deuteronomy, we read of the Israelites who have wandered in the wilderness and yet been led by the hand of God. They were slaves under Pharaoh's hand in Egypt, and yet God freed them. They were oppressed, and God heard them. And God brought them into this land flowing with milk and honey. The first fruits of their labor was laid upon the altar as a sign of thankfulness and of gratitude because of all that God had done for them. In fact, when we find the primary biblical example of offering is what the people do after they've received some blessing from God, they go straight to the altar and pour out some kind of an offering to say thank you. Thank you, God. You are good to me. These same stories that the Israelites told could be said of us. We have wandered far from God and God rescued us. Our hearts are broken and destroyed and yet you love us. We have sinned and we fall short and yet you save us. You have given us so many blessings. We give and lay upon the altar of our church out of an amazing gratitude for all that God has given to us. We tithe because God has blessed us beyond our imagination. So maybe I didn't want to talk about money this morning, but I can never tire about talking about the goodness of God. And friends, at the heart of the goodness of God is our opportunity to return our thanks through the financial giving that God has blessed us with. So our tithing, our giving to God, our 10%, is that which is done out of gratitude, and it's that which becomes a statement of our faith. For the people of Israel, that was a statement of their faith, a declaration of all that God had done for them. And because of all that God had done for them, they declared that their trust was in God and God alone. And out of that declaration became the statement of their faith. This is the first fruits of our labor because I have a God that loves me and cares for me and has given to me. And so I put my trust in God. God has done this in our lives as well. Because of all that God has given to us, we are invited to fully put our trust in God. Too often in our American culture, we find ourselves putting our trust in our possessions, in our money, in our abundance. And then we remember. We remember that it is God that has never left us. It is God that has never failed us. It is God that has never forsaken us. And it is God that has never and will never let us down. Our possessions and our money and our abundance and our stuff will falter. We have a God that will never, ever falter or fail us. And so we give as a statement of our faith, that our trust is in God. The question we're all asked this morning is our number one priority, God. Does God have first place in our lives? Do we really completely put our trust in God? Do we worship God? Or have we made our money, our possessions, and our abundance, our God? Remember back to the Places of Faith series that I preached just a few months ago. You might remember that each of the biblical characters, after some deep encounter with God, they offered something to God as a sign of their faith and a sign of their thanks. Remember Abraham. Abraham, as he was told to go and sacrifice his son Isaac, went and did that trusting that God was going to provide something. And remember, as he got there and he got ready to lay his son upon the altar, he looked up and over in the thicket was the ram. And Abraham says, "Surely God will provide." And Abraham made an offering and gave thanks to God. And Jacob in that dream he had of the angels descending and ascending up and down from heaven, was reminded that God was surely in this place. And when Jacob woke up from the dream, He made an offering to God. He told God, "Thank you. Surely you are in this place." And then Jacob, as he wrestled all night with the angel, as he encounters God face to face, when he wakes up in the morning after the all-night wrestling match, he thanks God. He makes an offering. And he says, "Surely I have seen God face to face." And then Samuel, after God delivered Samuel and the people of Israel from their worst enemies, Samuel realizes that the people have been spared, and he makes an offering, and he says thank you to God, and he says, "Thus far, the Lord has helped us." The very first thing that these biblical people did, their biblical places of our faith, the very first thing that happened was a giving to God, because God was first in their life. They made a statement of their faith to give from their first place and not from what was left over. It's a reorientation of our thinking. It's a reorientation of our thinking to see the giftedness that God has given to us and to first give our first fruits, to first return God's tithe, and then to make an offering above that tithe. A reorientation of our thinking. I know of some young boys who every time they empty their piggy banks, before they can go and spend their money on Legos, they empty their piggy banks and they pull out 10%. And that 10% of whatever was in their piggy bank can't be spent on Legos. It's given to God. God has first place. My grandmother, in the depths of her dementia, never missed a Sunday at her church thanks to the gracious love of her caregiver. Part of what made my grandmother need to be in church every Sunday was because of her faith, but also because of her deep desire and need to give to God. And long after she was unable to write the check for her tithe herself, my mother and my mother's sisters made sure that that check was written. And my grandmother walked into church every Sunday morning, clutching her purse tightly, ready to give her first fruits to God. This week, many of us will pray about our own first fruits. Many of us will pray about our own spiritual gifts. How it is that we will make an offering to this God's church. Will we give of our time and our talents? Will we give of our money and our possessions? I commit to you as your pastor, as I sit around my table this week, to pray for you. To pray for you that the very first priority in your life is our God. And that just as thank you notes have been written around that table, might the thank you notes of our offering be poured out in abundance. Because God has invited us to give. Because we are grateful. And because we have a God that we have put our faith and trust in. So may we be bold. May we be courageous. May we give not reluctantly or under compulsion, but because we are cheerful and heartfelt, because we have a God. We have a God that has blessed us beyond our imaginations, and we are grateful. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.